rock, sport and talk.
This is The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Not sure how many times I can say that this World Cup continues to astound me, but every day creates a ridiculous story. It is the best World Cup ever. There's no doubt about that. Let's talk with Andy Kelly again. Andy, you have chosen the best month ever to be the World Cup expert. I mean, literally, we are getting the most ludicrous stories day by day.
Ah, just fantastic. I mean, I can remember when during World Cups people used to be saying stuff like, when's the Premier League back, or when's the English football start? People don't want this tournament to end, mate, do they? And every day we're getting these incredible stories. Even when you get a bad game, you seem to get drama at the end of it, as we saw with a couple of the penalty shootouts the other day. But usually we're just getting terrific games, terrific stories, and just emotions writ large across our screens. And this all from a tournament that everybody thought was going to be a bit of a disaster. So, you have to give credit to Russia, actually, because if a World Cup is about transforming people's opinions, maybe, of what they think about a country, which it often is, and that's often the reason countries go for it. Well, I think lots of us have looked at Russia this summer and thought, lots of cities that some of us hadn't, went even really on our radar, were they? And just on a terrific tournament they've put on.
Maybe it was portrayed wrongly in the first place. Let's have a look at that Belgium game from last night. Something incredible achieved by Roberto Martinez. For all the doubters of Roberto, he pulled one out of the fire there with two incredible substitutions, and it showed an awful lot, I think, about the heart and mentality of that Belgium squad, which perhaps has been questioned in the past.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they looked befuddled, didn't they? I mean, obviously, they were 2-0 down. Japan had sort of... Japan's approach had really sort of seemed to leave Belgium clutching its straws as to how they were going to get back into this game. And I think Martinez and Belgium, who, as you say, have been called a few names in the past when they've been expected to win games, I think they got a little bit lucky with the first goal that gave them hope, didn't it? That header from Vertonghen, which... I don't know about you, Steve, but I thought it was probably a bit of a fluke. I mean,
oh, come on, 100%.
Yeah.
He wasn't looking at the goal, was he?
No. Yeah, I mean, and the look on his face when he went back to the thing. I always like to give credit to players, or maybe he did, but I think he's put it into a dangerous area, hasn't he? And he's got his rewards for that. And then, as you say, obviously we'd had the two substitutions. He'd very much gone to Plan B, Martinez, hadn't he? And Fellaini on, Chadli on, Chadli, a player who's spent most of the season injured at West Brom. Do you know what I mean? His world's just turned around, and with the last kick of the game, virtually they go through to a World Cup quarter-final, and what a game that is going to be. I'm not sure if Mrs. Hothersall's got any plans for Friday night, Steve, but just tell her whatever it is, you're not available because Brazil-Belgium, what a game.
Well, it should be one of the greats, shouldn't it? I loved Jürgen Klinsmann's analysis. I enjoyed watching Jürgen last night. I loved his analysis after the game, and he was talking about what Japan should have done at the very end of that game, and he was saying they'd lost their heads. There's no way as a footballer you can understand what's going on when it goes to 2-2 and you are so physically drained at the end of a game like that. And then we saw one of the great counter-attacking goals where Belgium displayed their prowess and Chadli finished it all off. And I felt really sorry. I felt sorry for quite a few teams in this tournament. I felt sorry for Senegal going out on yellow cards. I felt sorry for Germany. I don't know why. And I felt sorry last night for Japan, who maybe deserved a little bit more.
Oh, the way they played the game, there was a certain naivety to it. And but it really troubled Belgium. And to go two goals up, and two good goals at that, through Haraguchi and Inouye, who's been a good player all tournament, Inouye, hasn't he? And that was a great strike to put them 2-0 up. And they kept playing. And it was wonderful to watch. And I mean, how must their fans be feeling? Just incredible. And obviously they go from a situation, they've got a free kick, which is a good save from Courtois, goes out for a corner, and you're thinking this is their last chance. But of course, they put it in. But But given the differences in heights between the two teams, which had been, you know, a factor that had been mentioned, hadn't it, at the start of the game, you know, they're a pretty small side, Japan. And, of course, Belgium had gone to a much bigger side, hadn't they, with the likes of Fellaini. And you just have to look at... The thing that struck me was Kevin De Bruyne's desire. If you look where he is when the corner comes in, he's in his own six-yard box. And as soon as, you know, Courtois has that ball in his hands, he's off. And, you know, he takes the ball just outside his own penalty area. And I have to say, I as soon as he got it, I thought, goal. Because you always thought he would play the perfect pass to open up that defence. And, of course, they'd overcommitted Japan. And it was a beautiful winning goal. But it was sort of, you know, for Japan, they must look at that goal. And I'm sure they'd even their fans would appreciate the quality of it. The dummy from Lukaku's brilliant as well. But it'll just break their hearts. And that is what sport does to us, and football especially, Steve, for those of us who love the game. And I'm struggling to think anyone who doesn't during this tournament.
Mexico hearts broken by Brazil yesterday. And on the pitch, you've got a man who does to you what Didier Drogba used to do to your emotions. You used to think, Drogba, wow, what a goal scorer. And then you say, what are you doing on the floor? So many games, remember, doing with Aldo, and he'd go off his head shouting at Drogba. And Neymar does exactly the same. He's a genius. But then he does stuff which is so unnecessary in terms of rolling around and diving, and it sort of drags his name through the mud a little bit, Andy.
It was pathetic, and you mentioned Aldo. I saw Aldo had a right good go at him.
Did he?
He cut some of the things. I think John said he wouldn't have been able to show his face to his family after doing that. And, yeah, I mean, as you say, you know, he was involved in creating and then scoring the first goal, Neymar, assist for the second goal with a lovely little toe poke that brought back lots of memories of Romario's toe pokes down the years, and obviously Firmino getting on the score sheet finally. And but then the terrible play acting when the sub Leon had... I mean, to be fair, Leon had stood on his ankle with his studs, which is a painful thing. I think anyone who's played the game at any level knows that. But the seven twists and a pike he threw in as he... you know, cavorted on the sort of just on the side of the pitch. It really was pathetic, and it is something that can harm a player's reputation. And we all know he's under a lot of pressure. You could see that after one of the earlier games when he sort of burst into tears, didn't he, when they finally broke through. And so you can understand that, but they're deliberately trying to get a player sent off. It just demeans himself and demeans his team, really, because I think we're starting to see flashes of Brazil and what they can do against a team yesterday. And Mexico were no mugs. You and I were very fond of them early in the tournament. And Vela and Lozano were two real threats, weren't they? And I think to a team that wasn't as good as Brazil, Mexico could have finally got over that terrible jinx they've got of... They call it the Quintero, the fifth game jinx, I think, in Mexico. They've gone out last 16, in the last five tournaments, and they just can't get to that fifth game of a World Cup, and yet again out in the last 16, despite being, pretty much winning a lot of friends with their football, Mexico. But after a good 15, 20 minutes to start the game, I think, Brazil... They give you that. It's so difficult for Brazilian opponents to go, we want to try and stay compact and prevent Brazil's really good players winning this game for them. But then that takes away so much of what we can bring as a team. And they had a couple of chances, Mexico. And I think when you get your chances against Brazil, you really have to take them, because they are a team full of good players, essentially, and that tends to win a lot of football games, doesn't it?
So Brazil-Belgium is next up. Give us your Radio City Talk Player of the Day for yesterday, Monday the 2nd of July. Who was it?
Well, you know what? I'm going to go for Marouane Fellaini, Steve. I know that, I know that will make me popular on any bit of Merseyside, but... I mean, I would have given it to Neymar, but I can't have the rolling around, Steve. That just, that's it. You could almost have given it to De Bruyne if that one moment, that pass was brilliant. But the game changed in a World Cup knockout game essentially when Belgium decided to, you know, get balls into the box and cause problems for Japan. And Fellaini was at the heart of that, scored a good goal. I've never been one of those who thought, this fella can't play football. He clearly can play football. He's not necessarily very nice on the eye. Throws in the odd elbow himself, as we know. But I think he changed the game. And you know, to pick a Manchester United player is hard. But I think he was the guy who changed that game. So it's Marouane Fellaini, and I never thought I'd be saying that, Steve.
Radio City Talks Player of the Day. You've chosen Marcus Rojo in the past as well. There's definitely a United theme going on there with Andy Kelly. Let's quickly preview England today. Of course, Sweden and Switzerland play as well. That's the other one. But England against Colombia. Are you confident, Andy?
I think you can't be confident, Steve, because we know Colombia have got a good team. Be interesting to see if James Rodriguez play. I mean, there have been various reports that the leaked team seems to suggest he wasn't in it. But and especially after a muscle injury, you wouldn't think he would be. So that would be a miss for them if he didn't. But they've still got the likes of Quintero and Falcao and Cuadrado. But then, for me, England have got players who are just as good, if not better. You know, Harry Kane's playing great. We should have Dele Alli back. Really hope we see the real Raheem Sterling if he gets a start, which it's rumoured he will do, because, you know, I think he's a terrific player and he's a better player than me than Cuadrado. So, essentially, I genuinely think if England can get over the hole, we've got a great chance here because we're down to the last 10 teams in the World Cup. It's hard to say they're in the last 10. By the end of today, there'll only be 8 left, and they have a great chance of, you know, going, certainly, you know, potentially getting to a final even. But anything can happen in this World Cup. We've seen it, Steve. But I think they are just about, if they bring their game, they're a better team than Colombia, and I quite fancy England. And obviously by then they'd know who their quarterfinal opponent would be if they won it, with Sweden and Switzerland going at it earlier on.
Let's finish on a high. Thank you, Andy. Top man. I'll speak tomorrow.
Rock, sport and talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.